Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
So much, Elaine, for blessing everybody with that. I've been texting my friend from Cuba back and forth, and I send him clips, and he's been sending me clips. And we're worshiping the same Lord in different areas, different countries, different cultures, and that's just kind of a cool thing here this morning. Okay, now start. Thank you. Okay, we are continuing in our I have a bet going on with these girls up here about how long my sermon is going to be today. So I got to get it. Last time I did lose, but I won't lose this time. That shouldn't count to my time. Okay. We're continuing in our Advent series. And what we've been doing is we've been looking at some of our most beloved Christmas songs and Christmas carols and kind of delving into the scriptural background so we can have a greater appreciation and understanding of the message that they are conveying. And so this week's Christmas carol is all about a very, very important question. Dare I would say a critical question. Now, let me set it up like this, because a few weeks ago we had our annual elders appreciation dinner. We kind of get together and just appreciate the elders who've served throughout the year. And my wife decided to have a game, and she called this game kind of a little icebreaker. She said, "How well do you know your preacher?" Gulp. And so what happened is a sheet was passed out with 10 questions, and people would think what my answers would be. 10 questions. Then I answered them, people graded, and the top score was 5 out of 10. That was top scores 5 out of... Now, last I checked, 50% was an F. You know, so unless there's a really big curve, but in all fairness, some of these questions were a little bit, you know, off the beaten path, and probably people would know. One of the questions was, what was my favorite Christmas carol? And it's interesting because my favorite Christmas carol isn't, you know, like "O Holy Night" or one of these others. It happens to be the song that we're going to talk about today. And it's because I love the melody, although the melody actually was originally a love song and pretty sultry lyrics, actually. But it was another poem was written and put over top of this melody, and that's what we have today. And it is a song, "What Child Is This?" And it was actually the first song I ever sang as a solo in church as a little kid. And so it's always kind of been special to my heart. And I remember, you know, trying to go through and actually learn the lyrics. And it was neat to kind of just process the lyrics as I got ready to sing it. And it's a question. It's something to ask this important, again, dare I say, critical question. And when I thought about that, I thought about, why do we ask questions? We ask questions about people so we can get to know them.
I was talking to a dear friend.
She was she had a first date with a gentleman, and I gave her a list of questions to ask to see if this guy's faith lined up with his online profile. And I called her to check up to see how things went, and she said that she got very vague answers to these questions. And I said, well, that's probably
specific.
The more specific the answer that you get, the better that you know and you understand someone, correct? Right? Well, today, we're going to look at this question. What child is this? And I dare say this is perhaps the most important question in your entire life. And how you process this question and how you answer this question will not only determine your eternity, it will determine how you live your life here on earth now. Let's look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 through 29. And we begin because Jesus asked his disciples this question. His disciples were with Jesus. They had seen his miracles. They had heard his teaching. And we pick up the story here in Mark, chapter 8, where Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea and Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say one of the prophets. And he asked them, who do you say that I am? Peter answered him, you are the Christ. Now, I think that's an important question for us today. And the song starts, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleep, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. Now this question, I want you to know, the question of this song, my first point today, is the question is for everyone. Every single one of us, this question is posed to us. We have to answer it. And just being in proximity to this doesn't mean that you've answered the question. You must answer this question yourself. The disciples walked with Jesus and they beheld his life and his miracles. And yet they asked, and at one point in the scripture we read that even after seeing many things Jesus had done, that they're in this boat and a storm kicks up and Jesus just speaks the word peace and the storm is stilled. And the disciples respond, who is this person that even the wind and the waves obey him? Gang? Many of us have been around the evidence of who Christ is our entire lives, and we've still not answered this question. Many of us maybe have spent our entire lives in church, and we can recite the story, and we can tell you the facts, we can tell you all the things, but we have never really answered that question in our hearts. I want you to know that neither your parents or your spouse or your friends or your family can answer this question for you. And sadly, there exists in our religious culture a toxic heresy that has plagued the church since its inception, that somehow we entrust our personal responsibilities, our decisions, or our duties onto a priestly class that exempts us from answering that question ourselves. This is important because it impacts our souls. We should be careful not offloading our personal liability of facing this critical question. What child is this? I want you to know that just being in church doesn't mean that you have answered this question. This question is for you. This question is for me. If we want to see if we've answered, if not answering the question is answering the question. We've been given enough proof. We've been given enough that our lives really do determine, they really do give us a barometer as to how we have answered it. And I love the chorus here. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him loud, the babe, the son of Mary. Which brings me to my second point. I love that chorus because even though this question is for everyone, here's the good news. We've been given the answer. God has given us the answer to this question. Now, I recall in college, I had a couple of professors who seemed to thrive on making themselves look smart and me look dumb. And I know some of you are saying you probably didn't take that much to do that. But these people who I remember on a test, they would ask some random fact that really wasn't covered or reviewed, or maybe some side comment that was done in a lecture. And it was almost like they're trying. Have you ever had a teacher? It was like they're just trying to get you. They're just looking. Don't you love those teachers? They're looking for that. Now, I'm not at all saying the ones who want you to apply knowledge to come to a conclusion. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm talking about the ones that seem to hide or to minimize important facts and then expect you to know them. But on the other hand, I remember a few really, really great teachers who even in the times of a lecture would say, hey, this is an important thing. In other words, this might be a really good test question. And we would circle it and say, this is important, right? They would give study guides and they would highlight the important information from that which was not that important. They wanted you to get it. They wanted you to do well. And I want you to know that God has not hidden the answer to this question. No, not at all. In fact, prophets had foretold it. The prophets, they foretold of the place that Messiah would be born, that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. I mean, literally a star in the sky moved and led the Magi from the east who had been studying what the prophet Daniel had taught about the Savior of the world's coming. Does this sound like he was trying to veil the appearance of the Messiah? No. Jesus himself multiple times declares, I am the living bread. Through his teaching, through his conversations, he refers to himself as the Son of Man, even as the Son of God. Jesus, the prophets foretold this, and Jesus fulfilled the prophecies and also demonstrations of his supernatural power, his supernatural wisdom, and his supernatural authority. Jesus' own confessions. And just think about that. If Jesus' conversations and confessions about himself weren't enough, think about what God said. In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. He comes out of the water and we hear this voice from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." Does that sound like he's trying to hide a fact? Matthew 17, Jesus is on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And Jesus is transfigured and his face is glowing like the sun. And again, a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." The prophets foretold, Jesus fulfilled, and God affirmed. Who is this one? What child is this? Well, the book of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then John 14 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And verse 14 tells us, and the Word, let's all read this together. Verse 14, ready? "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Book of Hebrews, our verse for today. Actually, we're going to put it up here in the ESV, but let me read it to you. I love the language here of the King James Version. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world." We've been told who He is. We've been told why He came. To seek and to save the lost. To live a perfect and a pure life. And to be our sacrificial lamb. To pay the penalty of our sin. The writer goes on to let us know the question, why? Why lies He in such meanness? Where ox and ass are feeding. Good Christians fear for sinners here. The silent Word is pleading. But here's where I find it very interesting, because now there are two versions of this hymn. I'm not just talking about the original Green Sleeves version, of which we get the melody, this old love song. I'm not talking about that version in the Christian version. I'm talking about this poem that was written by William Chatterton Dix. He lived from 1837 to 1898. He was an insurance salesman, and at the age of 29, he was bedridden with a serious illness. And during that time, he began to write these poems that became these hymns. Now, what I found really troubling is that most hymn books nowadays, if you find the hymn books, you'll see all the three verses, but the refrain is the same refrain all three times, which I shared just a minute ago. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, loud they babe, the son of Mary. But that's not the original lyrics. This is the second version. In fact, if we look in our own red hymn book and we're in our blue hymn book, that's the version that we have. But the real version is quite different. And I began to try to research to ask this question. Why don't we use the original lyrics? Why do we reuse that same refrain? And I couldn't find a legitimate answer. The most likely conclusion that I've come to is that this is a Christmas carol. And in Christmas carols, we want to focus on the baby Jesus. I sound like Ricky Bobby from Talladega Nights. We like the Christmas Jesus, not the Easter Jesus, because he's disturbing. He's all bloody. And he's not fun to look at. We like the innocent, non-confrontational. Doesn't get us out of our comfort zone. Most really don't like these second two refrains because they're a bit too aggressive for our taste. And I feel that we really don't like to consider them at the theme of Christmas, but my brothers and sisters in Christ, I think that this is what Christmas is really all about. Next refrain. Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be born for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. I don't think many of us like to consider that this miraculous baby was destined for sacrifice for you and for me. How brutal, how barbaric. Is this how God would fully rescue? Is this how God would fully understand and redeem us through Jesus? Song concludes, so bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise a song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born. The babe, the Son of Mary. Which brings me to my final point, which is just simply this question. What child is this to you? Have you answered this question? Not have you been around it, not do you understand, not have you heard the stories, but what does your life say? What do your decisions, your priority, and your behavior declare about your answer to this question? Do you know facts about Jesus, or do you know Him as your Savior and as your Lord? Perhaps you've simply pulled back from answering this question, and I would beg you, I would encourage you to consider this question that Jesus posed to his followers. But who do you say that I am? What child is this? Let's all stand, and I'd ask that you just pray with me, church, as we consider this. Father in heaven, I praise you and I thank you for your word to us today. And God, even as we consider the title of this song, as we consider this question that is asked, we consider the words of Jesus and the demonstration, not only the promise that was foretold by the prophets, that was fulfilled by Christ and affirmed by even your voice from heaven. Father, I pray that we would allow this question to come to us. And for those of us who've been uncomfortable with this question and we've tried to pass it off, or we've tried to rely on the excuse of proximity, invade our comfort zone as you interrupted the lives of Mary and Joseph and those that we see in the Nativity. Father, help us to come to grips, to wrestle. Help us to look honestly at our lives, at our decisions and priorities, and see what our life is declaring, if it matches our confession. And if not, Father, allow us, like the wise men, to seek, to leave our place of comfort and search, come and give our best at the feet of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that the cradle was destined for the cross. And all of this is the demonstration of your love. Give us courage to answer this question, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's children said, amen. Church family, I invite you to join us as we sing our closing hymn, What Child Is This? And we're going to do all three verses of the original version here.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems speed, while shepherds watch our keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him now, the babe, the Son of Mary. While I see in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding, good Christian fear for sinner fear, the silent word is pleading.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.